Morning. So good morning. I wasn't saying that, I'm saying it is a good morning. Well, we're going to start this morning with a few declarations over our lives as we get going. I just really had it on my heart based on where God wants us to go today that we're going to do this to start off. So, I'm blessed. Okay, as you say this, you're going to start to feel like you believe it. Because as you declare stuff out, your feelings are going to catch up. So I'm blessed.
I am blessed.
The word today is going to change my life.
The word today is changing my life.
My heart is open for what God wants to say to me.
My heart is open for what God wants to say to me.
As I hear the word,
faith is going to come to me.
God is going to speak to me today. And I'm going to hear it clearly
and act upon it.
For I'm a doer of the word
and
not just a hearer only.
God has good things for me today.
You know, it's really important what we speak out. The words we speak out have a big impact on our lives, which is why I've started this morning slightly differently to perhaps praying or doing something else, because I really felt God wanted to, even at the very beginning, start to put into place the application of what he wants to say to us today. So, has anyone ever watched the TV program, You've Been Framed? Okay, loads of you have. I must say, during the week, I looked up on YouTube, You've Been Framed, just to see if I could find some appropriate clip to show this morning. And to be quite honest, I was a little bit disappointed, I think, is probably the best way with what I found. I'd forgotten how bad it was. Now, if you love that program, I apologize right now. But I have to say, looking at it on YouTube, I was just like, what did I used to watch as a child and thought was funny? because for those of you who don't know, You've Been Framed is a TV program where people send in clips, video clips of moments in their lives or moments in their friends' lives that have been caught on camera, normally where somebody's ended up making a mistake, doing something wrong, or they've been caught out and it's ended in disaster. So, you know, they go to dive into a swimming pool and end up missing and falling on the floor, or they, I don't know, whatever happens. But stuff takes place that's made into this TV program. And so in the end, I decided there wasn't anything appropriate that I was going to show this morning that was going to help with the message. But the reason I say all that is because when I was given the fact of preaching this morning several weeks ago, I was kind of mulling it over, going, Lord, what do you want me to preach on? What do you want to say? What's in your heart? I knew it was coming off the back of the Life Is series and then the Love Is series. And if you haven't listened to those, get online, listen to the podcast. There's some great messages from Pastor Alan and Claire in there that you can listen to. And Pastor Alan and Claire this morning are away ministering in Wales at a church in Bridgend. With the Ashtons, who have been long-term friends of the church. They used to run Gates of Praise Bookshop that we got all the Hagen books through in the UK, and they ran the bookshop at Faith Camp, and Pastor Alan and Claire down there this weekend. So they'll be back next weekend for sure. But, you know, when they gave me this thing to preach, I was like, what do I do, Lord? What do I say? And there's all sorts of topics that go through your mind. You know, yeah, I could go and preach on worship because that's my favoured subject and I love worship and I could teach for hours on that. Or I could teach on something else. And, you know, I was going through it. And in the end, God just led me to something. And he started off by saying, what's going on in your life? What you've been seeing going on in your life over the last, you know, period of time? And I was like, thinking back, and I was like, okay, Lord, well, this has been going on. And God went, that's what I want you to preach on. And I want you to call it You've Been Framed, which is why I mentioned the TV program. Okay, and God led me to a scripture that isn't actually one that I had been kind of running with, but the application of it is what had been happening in my life. So let's all turn to Hebrews chapter 11. It's our key scripture for today. It's what I really believe God wants us to get hold of. Now, for some of you in this place, you'll have heard messages like the one I'm going to preach on today maybe hundreds of times, particularly if you've been around Word of Faith movements and churches. You're going to have heard this message many times before. For some of you, it'll be brand new, and for some of you, you'll be somewhere in the middle. But I just really had in my heart, you know, whether this is the first time you heard it, this is going to have a life-changing impact. Or whether this is the 100th time you've heard this, God wants this to have an even bigger impact in your life. And there's going to be changes that are going to take place in your daily situations because of what you hear today and how things work out. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, I'm actually going to read this from the New King James Version just because it uses a particular word. But you can follow it along in your own Bibles so you know what you're reading from for later in the week. So by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Let me say that again. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. You know, the world we live in, the earth, the heavens, everything that's there was framed by God's word. When God created the world, he framed it. He defined its outline. He defined its boundaries. He determined where things were going to fall, what was going to take place. He set out where the outline was going to be and what could take place and what couldn't. And, you know, I was just thinking about what the word framed, you know, you've been framed. But God says he framed the world. What does frame mean? Well, when I was thinking about a frame, a picture frame, a couple of thoughts came to mind. Well, it's like an outline. There's like a boundary that the picture doesn't go beyond that, does it? The frame always has the picture inside of it. It's never that the picture's all spread out over and the frame sort of like over part of the picture. No, the frame defines the outline. It defines the boundaries. But it also defines what it will look like. You know, we've had pictures that we've had and they've looked okay, but the minute you put the frame around it, the picture looks way better than it did before when it was just on its own. And it also helps your eye to be drawn into what you're supposed to be looking at. So instead of looking at the rest of the wall, you start looking at the picture that's on the wall. In our dining room, Simone has two pictures. She has one for the spring and summer time, which is some hares, and then she has one for the autumn winter, which is a stag. And that goes on our wall, and she changed those. But when you go in, your eye is drawn to that picture when you look at that wall. You don't look at the rest of the wall. I don't see the light switch. I see the picture, and I'm drawn in to look at that thing. Because a frame defines the outline, the boundary, but it also defines what we'll look at as we're going on. So when God was creating the world, let's just turn to Genesis chapter 1, because I just really felt it was important just to quickly at the start of what we're preaching to set the foundation, to set the background to all of this, because what we do is we look at what God did, and then we can see how it applies to us as people. So, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, start right back at the beginning of the Bible, right back at the beginning of the story, and it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." You know, I found it interesting this morning, Peter, when he was leading us a few moments ago, mentioned about the Spirit hovering over. And I thought, yeah, there's a real key in that for somebody here today, because the Spirit of God is ready and waiting to see a change happen in your life, in your world. You know, at the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, it was empty, it was formless, there was darkness over it, but the Spirit was hovering over, ready to do something. Then what happened? God said, in verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now I'm going to skip forward some verses because I don't want to go through all of this. But I will just say, verse 4, God saw that light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. You know, we're talking about you being framed, the world being framed. He separated the light from the darkness. He set the boundaries. He said, right, light and darkness aren't just going to mix. They're separated. There's going to be a time of darkness and a time of lightness, which is where we have day and night, as we see, and it's all there. But then in verse 6, and God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from water." So again, God defined the boundary. Verse 9, God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." Verse 11, then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, etc., etc." And in verse 14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night." You know, I could go on and on and on. There's a few key points I just want to take out of this just to set the scene, set the foundation. Firstly, God created, okay? It didn't just happen. Okay, there's a whole thing that says, there's been a whole load of teaching about Big Bang theories and all the rest of it. Now, I'm not going to say how things happened, but what I am going to say is that God created. The Bible, the Word says very, very clearly that God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? That's where it started from. But let's look at something else in this. It was done from a place where it was formless and empty. The situation wasn't good. The situation wasn't the finished outcome. Okay, the earth wasn't there, all nicely created with all the land masses, the sea, the lights and everything, and God just went, oh, let's have some animals, let's have... No, God created out of nothing. God created where there was nothing, okay? I want you to get hold of this because you may be facing situations in your life where you're looking at something that looks formless, that looks bad, that looks, you know, in a mess, where darkness is hovering over. This word is going to apply directly into this situation. The next thing that happened is God spoke. Okay, it wasn't that it just happened. God was just there, right now it's time for creation. He spoke and he declared specific things to take place. He didn't say, creation happen, and then just creation happen. He said, let there be light. Let there be a vault between the this and that. Let there be a distinction between that. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation. You know, God said, let the water under the sky be gathered. He gave very, very clear specific instructions when he spoke. And then the fourth thing that happened, we see, is that creation took place. So it wasn't just that he spoke and nothing happened, it happened. So the first thing is God created. The second thing is that it was done from a place where it was formless and empty. There was nothing there to work with. God spoke, he gave a command, and then creation happened. You know, and if you look back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, that verse we were just looking at a moment ago. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. God didn't make the world out of something that was there to be seen to start with. He did it from where there was nothing. Okay, so we see that same thing referred back in Hebrews from Genesis. You know, it was formed from nothing. You know, the nature of God is that he calls things that are not as though they are. That's what faith does. Faith takes hold of something, but it doesn't just believe that things are, you know, are that are not that, so they were. He actually declares them. He speaks them out. God is a speaking God. He is a God. Right from the beginning of time, we see in the whole of the beginning of the Bible, it says God spoke. When you start, I did GCSE drama many, many years ago. More from the technical side, I was no good at acting. That wasn't my skill set at all. But in terms of the technical side, I loved the plays, I loved the drama, I loved the showcase of it all. You know, when you have an opening scene, what do you have in it? Do you have a load of boring stuff? Do you have a load of things that are not relevant to the rest of what's going to happen? No, you have something that's going to grab people's attention and that's important to the rest of the play. You know, that's what, if you look in dramas and plays, you often see that happen. You know, what happens at the beginning and what happens at the very end are two of the most important things that happen in a play. They're also often what people say are important in somebody's life. You know, the final words somebody says, you know, at the end. But also what happens right back at the beginning can have a profound impact on somebody's life. You know, what takes place at the beginning of the Bible is really, really important because God is saying, by the Holy Spirit, we need to understand who God is, and God is a speaking God. He takes things that are not, he speaks what he wants to see happen, and then it happens. That's massively important for us to grab hold of this morning. And this leads us to our first main point for today, that God's word frames our world. Okay? The first key point I want you to get hold of today is that God's word frames our world. You see, not only did God create the world, but he also created your world. You know, it talks about that he defines our life, that he has a plan for your life. This morning, God isn't just sat in heaven waiting, wondering what's going to happen. He has a plan for your life, a purpose for your life. He wants certain things to happen in your life. He's given you gifts and skills and things like that because he wants to see certain things happen in your life. He has a plan. He's defined your world. You know, there are people God brings you into connection with. Why? Because he's defining your world. He wants other things to open up, networking opportunities, other things, because he's always preparing stuff. I know that there are things that God took me into to work in O2 for the best part of a decade. Why? Because he wanted to put skills in me, teach me stuff that was going to be useful for the rest of my life. It wasn't just an accident. My degree was in engineering. O2, Yeah, okay, I understood how the mobile phones worked because I'd studied that at university, but it was nothing to do with selling them. But God had a whole load of stuff he wanted to get inside of me that I needed to go and work for that company that he was going to help me with. And that was how he was defining my life. You know, he has a plan for us. It's one of my favorite life verses, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. You know, that he has plans to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope and a future. You know, God spoke that word to the Israelites when they were in captivity, not when everything was going well. Let's think back again. When the earth was formless, God spoke. When the Israelites were in captivity, God spoke. You know, all the time, God is a speaking God, declaring stuff. And he speaks his word over us, and he speaks his word through his word, he declares how our world and our lives are to be. That's why it's so important that we need to get hold of God's word and how we need to fill ourselves with God's word and constantly just be, you know, reading the word, hearing the word, listening to the word, allowing that word to fill us, because then we know what God's word is for our lives. You know, it does. It's the key part of basic Christian discipline is to be reading the Bible. That's why we have a Bible reading plan. How many people here, I don't know whether I dare do this, how many people here are still reading the Bible reading plan? Well, there's some good hands there. Great. It's great to see. You know, if you're not reading the Bible reading plan, jump on it now. We're going to have another one starting in January. Don't wait till January to start. Just join the one we're doing and then join in when we start the new one in January as well, so that we're all reading the same stuff, because God always wants to work stuff into us as a group of people together. You know, one of the important things we need to understand is that we are created in God's image. A little bit further on in Genesis, it says, and then God created man in his image. What does that mean? What does created in his image mean? It means that we are like God in that sense. Okay, so if God is a speaking God, then we are to be a speaking people. Okay, this isn't just something reserved for God, this is for us as well. That we are to be a speaking people. And it's not just that we are to be a speaking people, we are already a speaking people. The words that we speak have an impact on our lives. Okay, they frame our worlds. This is the second point, and probably the most important point for this morning, is that our words frame our worlds. It's a bit of a tongue twister, that. I was trying to see if there was an easier way to write it, but there isn't. Our words frame our worlds. What we speak will have an impact on what happens in our lives. You know, the things that happened when God spoke, the same things will happen when we speak. When we declare stuff out, you're going to see stuff happen. Okay? But I also want to just throw in the other side of that, that when you speak stuff that maybe you aren't really careful with what you're saying, what other things are we allowing to frame our worlds? Okay, it's not just, yeah, let's get excited about the good stuff, which we need to get excited, that what we're going to speak out is going to impact our world. But already, what you are speaking out is impacting your world. I just want to read a story to you. I got sent this. Pastor Alan got it from Christopher Lamb this week, and he forwarded it over to me because he knew what I was going to be preaching on. I read it through, and I thought, that's a brilliant illustration. We'll use that. So I just want to go back to the Second World War. The Bismarck, along with her sister ship, the Tirpitz, I think, were Nazi Germany's mightiest battleships in World War II. So you've got the biggest and best German ships in World War II. And the Allies were frightened at the thought of these great battleships with their huge guns sailing out in the open seas, especially marauding in the North Atlantic, attacking the convoys, bringing much-needed supplies to the British. So one day, the Bismarck set out into the North Atlantic and was confronted by the Royal Navy's biggest battle cruiser, the HMS Hood. The very first salvo of plunging fire from the Bismarck hit the HMS Hood, and her magazines exploded. She sank immediately, taking down over 1,400 officers and ratings with her into the watery depths. So the Navy, the British Navy, sent out their best ship to attack this Bismarck because they know they've got to clear this out of the way, and immediately it's been attacked, and unfortunately, the British have lost one of their best and biggest ships themselves. The Bismarck then sailed down towards France. The British knew that the Bismarck had to be destroyed. The Royal Navy, still reeling by the shock of the loss of HMS Hood, did not know what to do. Then an admiral ordered a squadron of Royal Navy Fleet Air Arm attack to attack the Bismarck. The strike was to be launched by slow and obsolete Swordfish biplanes that carried a torpedo each. So it wasn't the best, it wasn't the biggest that went to attack, okay? But one by one, the brave pilots with her aircraft, went through the Bismarck's heavy defense anti-aircraft barrage and launched their torpedoes. One of their torpedoes hit the Bismarck's rudder. Now, the rudder is the bit that controls the ship, damaging it and causing it to jam. With its rudder damaged and unserviceable, the Bismarck now went around in circles, not being able to move forward. Now ships of the Royal Navy moved in for the kill. Although they were smaller, there were several of them, and they attacked the Bismarck from all sides and ultimately sank her, all because of a torpedo that damaged its rudder. Okay, so a tiny little bit on this massive ship got damaged. It caused the biggest German battleship to end up just going round and round in circles because it couldn't change its direction. And what happened? It could be attacked on all the sides by smaller ships and ultimately taken out. What's the moral of this story? Well, there's loads of morals we can take from it. But the Bible tells us that our tongues are our rudders, and as such, they decide our course in life. They decide the direction of our lives. You know, what you're speaking out, the Bible tells us that our tongues have the power of life and death. Okay, so what you're speaking out will either be speaking out life over your life or death over your life. Our tongues, the words we speak with our tongues, can make or break us. More than what we say that we believe, it's actually what we speak that makes a difference. You can say you believe something, but actually, what are you speaking out on a day-by-day basis? What are you speaking out moment by moment? Because it's all very well to go that I'm healed. Okay, I'm just going to use this as an example. It's all very well to say I'm healed. Okay, I believe I'm healed. Brilliant. Fantastic. We want to believe we're healed because Jesus has won our healing on the cross. But if the next day you're saying, my sickness is doing this to me, or I can't do this because of my sickness, or you turn around and you go, oh, I'm feeling really, really exhausted by this sickness, your words that you're speaking out do not line up with what you're believing. And your tongue is actually giving you a totally different direction than what you said at the beginning. Okay, now healing's one thing. It could be provision. You know, you could be that you're saying, God is my provider. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Fantastic. It's true. It's good. He does. He is our shepherd, and we do lack nothing. But then if we constantly go around saying, I can't afford this, I can't afford that, I can't afford the other, my bank account never has enough money in it, or my job doesn't give me enough money, all the time we're speaking something totally different to what we were saying we believed at the beginning. Now, I'm going to touch on this in a minute, because I think it's really important that we understand this, but that doesn't mean we be unreal, okay? There's a reality of what's going on in our lives that, you know, we need to be able to open up and share about. But at the same time, the declarations, what we're declaring out, what we're speaking out, the little add-on words at the ends of sentences are so important as to determining what's going to happen in our lives, okay? I just turned quickly to Proverbs 18. It was the verse I was just saying, but I just think it's important that we all know where it is and what it says. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 20. I'm just starting there because it just illustrates what I've just been saying. In verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 18, it says, from the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Interestingly, the next verse says, he who finds a wife finds what is good. Are you declaring that your wife is good if you're a husband? Or the other way around, if you're a wife, are you declaring your husband is good? What are you actually declaring out? But anyway, that's just a side thing, just to throw in. Always read scripture in the context of what's there. But the point is that from the fruit of your mouth, your stomach is filled or satisfied. Okay, what we say will impact our lives. It's so important. Our tongues have the power of life and death. Now, I just want to kind of, I felt as I was preparing for this, God reminded me of Romans chapter 10. So let's just quickly turn there. How does this work? How can we prove that this is the case for our lives, okay? When you got saved, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay, there's two things going on here. If you declare with your mouth and believe in your heart. So there's a believing to go on in our hearts, but there's also a declaration that needs to happen in our lives. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And I was thinking about this, and it's, you know, you start to see the outworking of salvation in your life when you start to declare it out. It's as you start to speak that the amazing goodness of salvation, it's the amazing qualities of salvation, as you start to declare, Jesus is my Lord, that you start to see the outworking of salvation happening in your life. But that's what happens at the beginning. Why do we sit here and think, well, it's a one-off and that's the only time I ever need to do it? If that's how it is to get saved, so we've got two beginnings here, shall we look at it like that? Genesis, God created the world, he spoke. Second new beginning, the new beginning for us when we become saved, new believer, born again, new creations, we have to speak out, Jesus is Lord. So both of those things at the start, God is showing, this is the pattern of how it's going to be in your life. When you take hold of this, when you take hold of the truth of what God is saying, your tongue has the power of life or the power of death, depending on which way you want to go on it. You can go down a path that is seeing life after life after life after life after life happening in your daily existence, okay? It can have a massive impact. It's only when you start to speak out that you start to see the impact of your salvation in your life. This is how we start, and this is how we continue through our life. You know, we shouldn't think it's going to be any different later on. The words we speak are so important. I just want to share a couple of examples from my own life and try and put this in a wider context of what happens. You know, when Simone and I got married, the vicar brought a word. Pastor Alan preached, but the vicar brought a word to speak over us. He read a passage from Jeremiah chapter 31, I think it is, off the top of my head, chapter 32, and there's a whole load of stuff in it. And you know, I'd been a Christian for all my life up to that point. I was 25 when we got married, so, you know, for the best part of 21 years, I'd been a Christian, and I'd been reading my Bible. I'd read through the whole Bible, I knew the Bible, and he reads this bit out, and I'm like, wow, I don't even know that was in the Bible. You know, I was stood there thinking, wow. And it was a really profound scripture. It's also with God has a covenant with us to never stop doing good to us, okay? And it goes on and on and on. But one of the things it says in it is, it says, I will inspire them to fear me so that it will go well for them and for their children. That is one of the verses that it says, and that was a specific verse. And this passage of scripture is something that Simone and I have gone back to and back to and back to stand on. You know, we've had so many conversations at home, Simone and I, where we've kind of been discussing something going on in a school or something happening here or what was taking place with one of our children. And all the time we come back to, it is going to go well for our children. That was the promise that God gave Simone and I on the day we got married. We didn't even have any children, but God said, it will go well for our children. My children are not going to end up in a mess in their lives because it is going to go well for them, because God has promised that to me. And I will continue to declare that out, and I will continue to speak it out. Now, how does that impact? So, I'm going to be really honest. We used to share, Simone and I, going out to Tiny Tots, when this is obviously a long time ago because our youngest is now 6, nearly 7. So many years ago, we used to take them out to Tiny Tots, and it was fantastic. But there were times, it happened in the playgrounds, in the mother and toddler groups and other places, but it also happened in our own Tiny Tots group, where people would say, just wait till they're 2 or 3. Just wait till your child's 2 or 3. And you have to excuse me, because I can't always remember what the little catchy phrases that people use, which is something like terrible 2s and troublesome 3s or something. Okay? Simone and I changed that. We started declaring over our children that we're going to have terrific 2s and tremendous 3s. Why should we have rubbish 2 years of our lives with our children? Why? The Bible doesn't say that. There is nowhere in my Bible where it says, wait till your children are 2 and 3 and then expect the worst. I have never read that scripture. If somebody wants to come and show me that at the end of today, I will apologize next Sunday. But I have never seen it in my Bible. In fact, I refuse to believe it's there, because God said it will go well for my children. Why should I expect bad things to happen at the age of 2 or 3? I shouldn't. So we started to declare we'll have terrific twos and tremendous threes. Now, don't get me wrong, the children grew up, and at those ages, they are testing boundaries. And some of those things slightly irritate you as a parent, because they know how to press your buttons. But we didn't have disastrous years with our children. We had good years. I look back on those years with my kids and remember good times. okay? When I was put the children to bed at night, you know, you got all this thing, oh, well, they're going to be disrupted and they're not going to sleep well and all that. No, they will lie down in peace and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make them dwell in safety. My children are going to sleep well. Does that mean that every single night they've always slept a perfect night's sleep? No. I used to regularly have a child come into my bedroom. It wasn't Joshua, don't worry. I used to regularly have a child coming into the bedroom, you know, getting into the bed with us in the middle of the night. Okay, there were times, but all the time it was like, we are not going to allow nightmares to affect our children. Because we're speaking peace. What we decided to declare over our children has an impact on our lives because it has an impact on their lives. You know, we were then told, just wait till they're teenagers. Well, I'm going to have amazing years when my children are teenagers because God has said it's going to go well for my children. What we declare out is so important, guys. You know, we can say throwaway comments. Even in joking, you know, people will say stuff like, and laugh at it. But actually, no, that is a death-speaking comment when you say troublesome whatever it is. I don't even want to repeat it because you're not going to have it. If you've got children at that age, you're not going to have it. You're going to have good years. That's what God has promised to us. Just another example that we saw, and this is just to show that things don't always happen straight away, but you have to keep on going. Simone and I got fed up with where we were living in our previous house. It got to the point where either we had to invest a lot of money to sort of do a load of repair work and upkeep on it, or we needed to move. And ideally, we needed to move because with three children in the house, although we had three bedrooms, they were quite small, and we needed more space. We needed stuff to happen. So one day, Simone wrote on a chalkboard that we had in our kitchen on the wall, "We are moving." Okay, that's what she put. We didn't move for 2 years. Okay, in fact, when she wrote it, we had no house, we had no mortgage, like no ability to get a mortgage for a new house. We had nothing we could do. We lived in a house. All of the, in fact, at that point when we wrote that down, we'd just been to see a mortgage advisor about trying to restructure the mortgage on our previous house. And the mortgage advisor laughed at us and said, "There's no way with your incomes you can even get what you've got on the moment." So, you know, that was that. Shrugged his shoulders. We walked off and were like, okay, what happens now? He did give us a little tip, which did help us to do something in the end. But it's like, we knew we couldn't go to the mortgage advisor and get a mortgage. So the earth was formless. It was void and dark. There was nothing there. What happens? Simone writes on a blackboard, "We are moving." We had people come into our house, unsaved people who'd come into our house. I mean, we saw it there. We'd speak it out from time to time, and it was a declaration, but we'd forget it was there. And I remember one mum came in with a friend of Josh and Ellie's, and she goes, "What's the news then?" And we're like, "What do you mean, what's the news?" I was like, "Well, where are you moving to?" Right, so at that point, Simone now has to try and work out how to explain to this unsaved person what speaking in faith means, okay? And I want to be really real and honest here. At times we were like, are we brainwashing our children? You know, are we putting something on that isn't going to happen? And are we going to impact them in a negative way? Because you don't want to do that. But do you know what? I was thinking about this during this week when I was preparing. We don't have that blackboard any longer because it doesn't fit in the new house. Doesn't work. We've moved. I don't need that confession that says we are moving any longer because we've moved. But it took 2 years, or at least 2 years. That blackboard was up and people kept coming in and asking us questions, and all the time you're having to go, a bit like Abraham, Sarah with their promise of a child. Well, they didn't have a child, did they? All the time, but we are moving. This is what's going to happen. And we knew we were going to move. And eventually it got to a point where God just went to me one day, now's the time to put the house on the market. And I remember, I'm just going to talk you through this. I remember I ended up speaking with a couple of people, but one of them was Marcus, Pastor Marcus Whitman, when he was over here. And I said, this is the amount we're believing the Lord for this house to sell. If it sells for this amount, we can do the next bit. Because we'd been back, and actually, just to give you an even bigger part of the story, we went to see the same mortgage advisor. We didn't know that time. Went to see the same mortgage advisor that we'd seen 2 years previously. And he walked in, and initially it was a bit like, oh, he suddenly remembered who we are. But as I sat down with him, I really had felt in my heart all the way to drive and see him that I needed to say, you're going to give us a miracle today. Well, how do you come out and say that when, you know, you're walking into a bank and it's like, you know what, I don't know how this is going to work. But he said something and I suddenly was able to go, yeah, and I know you're going to give me a miracle today. And so we sit there, and initially he's like, no. And then Simone said something that she felt she should say, and he suddenly went, well, if that's the case, we could do this, this, and this, and this. We left with a mortgage in principle decision that day. Now, actually, we got our mortgage from somewhere else that gave us an even better deal. But the point was, is we were able to make the next steps forward, put an offer in on a house the following day, or rather, Simone put an offer in and then told me afterwards she had. And then we had discussed it. It wasn't completely out, but I was be like, what? You done what? But she did that because we got this mortgage in principle, because of all of that thing that we were declaring, we are moving, we can move, we're moving, and then this guy's going to give us a miracle, and then we ended up moving house. And we don't need that chalkboard any longer, we've thrown it away, it doesn't fit in the new house, but actually we don't need that confession because we're not moving anymore because we moved. You know, God is good, okay? I just want to show a quick video clip. It's a little funny thing that I was reminded of. Just a funny little thing. But you know, as I was thinking about it, our words determine, they set the tone for our lives and lay out the track that we're going to walk down. There was no track there, was there? I know it's all completely ridiculous, that picture, but there was no track. They're trying to do something. But actually, suddenly there is the track, it just needs laying out in front. And as you speak out, the words you speak out are going to determine the track that you're going to walk down in your life. We were able to say we're moving way before we saw it happen. We had no track to go down, we had no mortgage, we had no house. In fact, the house that we actually live in, somebody else had put an offer in, and Simone had seen it, and the estate agent came around, and when Simone said which house she was interested in, he went, oh, somebody else put the thing in, they're trying to get their finance together. 2 days later, he rang us up and said, you interested in that? They can't do it, I can sell it to you. But at the time when we saw it, it was like, that was our house. You know, God always honors what we speak out, and the power of our words in our mouth shape, they frame our world. I just want to talk a little minute about careless words. What happens when we speak them? We need to be careful with what we say. I used to have a throwaway line that I had at the end when I was in a tricky situation where I was discussing something, in the offices, I started to catch myself saying, I don't know. The end of the sentence, I'd just go, I don't know. When I didn't know the answer to something, or I wasn't sure what to do, normally when I was a bit sort of like paralyzed by, I don't know what to do here, I'd just go, I don't know. And after a while, I just started to get a little nudge on the inside that this was uncomfortable, this wasn't right. And I was like, what's going on? And God started highlighting to me how many times I was just saying this little throwaway, I don't know. And God said to me, that's not true. Because I've given you the Holy Spirit who does know, who lives in you, who goes, who can search the mind of Christ and tell you all the things you need to know and remind you of the truth. So you shouldn't be saying you don't know. Because you do know, because you've got the Holy Spirit in you. Now, that doesn't mean that I've necessarily always got immediately the answer there and then, but the Holy Spirit will give me what I need to know, and I needed to be careful and change the words that I was speaking. So I'm trying to say that, yeah, on the one hand, we're going, whoa, I'm moving, and on the other hand, I'm saying, I don't know. You know, this is something that God is working out in our lives all of the time. Something else that something that came to my mind during the week, my grandma, fantastic woman, she had an amazing life, lived to 95 years old, okay? She didn't quite make the 100, but she did make to 95. But my mum told me once that she used to say all of the time, I'm sick and tired of something or other. Okay? Now, what my grandma meant was she was fed up or frustrated with something. Okay? She was a bit let down. But her confession, the words she spoke on a regular basis were, I am sick and tired of rah, 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 rah. How did my grandma die at the age of 95? She died tired in an old people's home, and she died sick. Now, she didn't have to have died that way, but her words determined the outcome of what happened in her life. Now, she didn't die of a major sickness. She didn't die of cancer or anything like that. She died of old age. She was 95, but she died in a state of tiredness and sickness. And my children, so her great-grandchildren, Josh will have more memories of her than the others just because of the age, but certainly, I think it was Charlotte said to me the other day, she goes, great granny was always asleep when we used to go and see her. Well, she was. But she'd confessed over her life that she was tired. What happens when you're tired? You sleep. So unfortunately, there were situations in her life that she could have seen more of her great-grandkids, and her great-grandkids could have seen more of her awake and alert if she had not spoken. I'm convinced if she'd not spoken that out, just as a throwaway thing. Our words are so, so important in terms of watching what we've said. You know, you speak to people and they say they've had a bad week, or they're having a bad week at work, or that work is getting them down, or they're just feeling really under the weather, or that, you know, you hear other people say, I heard somebody, she was on a phone, I think I was on the tram, and she said, oh, it never rains, but it pours. I was on the train, that's right, and I thought, what a dreadful thing to say. Now, I know what she means by that, but her confession is always that it's worse and that things are terrible. This morning, you know, this week has been a real test for me on this word, I'll be honest, because I've been running for months with the declaration that I am blessed, okay? And I get our kids, Simone and I have been doing this since September. We get our kids on the way to school, actually it might have been before September, but certainly from September we have been going, every morning we get them to say, I'm blessed, I'm the head and not the tail, I'm the top and not the bottom, have the mind of Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and my God will never leave me nor forsake me. Something around that. It changes depending on who's doing driving, who's saying what, and we always add some extra bits, but it always has those components in it. Why? Because it's so important for us to be declaring over our lives and getting our children to declare over their lives. You know, but this week, as I've been preparing, I've had all sorts of stuff suddenly happen, this has happened, this things have gone. I know that the enemy has not wanted you guys to hear this message. Yesterday, something else happened that just totally took me right off my track of what I'd been thinking was going to happen, my expectations. You know, it was all a bit of a thing. This morning, we're 13 minutes from the start of the service, and somebody came to get me because, and I'm glad they did, because we needed to fix something, but they came to get me to take me next door to sort a problem out with the projector in the Go Kids room, because there was an issue with that. It had been used midweek by another a venue hire, and it hadn't been reset. And we didn't realize until at that point. You know, all the time the enemy's trying to throw me off. And when I'm at, and I'm just like, right, this morning when I arrived at church, the cherry picker was right outside. For those of you who weren't here at 9 o'clock, the cherry picker that the people are doing the roof with, the bright yellow thing, was in the worst possible place it could have been in our car park. Of all the places they put it, they decided to block the entire main entrance of the sanctuary. Now, this is week four of them doing it. They've been told where to put it. In fact, for the last few weeks, they've been putting it in the right place. No problem at all. And suddenly this morning, it's in the wrong place, totally messed up. And I'm like having to ring people, do this and all that, because the enemy's trying to throw us off. And I walked in here, and at the pre-service, pre-setup prayer meeting, I just went, right, we're going to declare some truths. And we're going to start with, I'm blessed, even though at this moment in time I feel anything but blessed, because I've got to sort out that problem, got to sort out this, I've had this happen, I've had that happen. Inside I'm going like that, and it's like, my confession is going to be, I'm blessed. Okay? And we actually have to, Simone always talks about a righteous anger welling up inside, but actually she's just meaning, let's grab hold of stuff and actually be proactive with it and speak it out, and I say, no, I'm blessed. There are situations in your lives, for some of you at the moment, that you actually need to get hold of this truth and say, I am blessed, I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm not allowing the enemy to define the tracks of my life. The words of my mouth are going to define what's happening, and they're the words that God has given me, because his words always bring life, they always bring blessing, they always bring goodness. You know, it's easy for us to say, you know, I throw out the thing, God is good, and people suddenly throw back all the time, God is good. Well, that's a good confession to have, but we need to be declaring that even if people aren't, even if somebody hasn't said God is good. God is good. Just start declaring it over your week and your day, everything that goes on. You know, if we're believing for healing, we don't ignore the sickness. Okay, we don't just say, oh, I'm not sick. Okay, but you say, I am healed of this sickness. I am healed of that. You know, you start speaking it out, start declaring it, and all the time going, I have the strength to live now. I have the ability to do this. This sickness doesn't define me. It was taken by Jesus. It doesn't belong to me. It's not my sickness. It belongs to Jesus, and he's destroyed it. It's no longer something that we have to put up with. If it's a provision issue, if it's a relationship issue, whatever it may be in your life, if it's with your children, start declaring out the truth of what God is saying and allow your words to make an impact in their lives. I can tell you now, we've been declaring this over our children for months now, and we're seeing, like, their spelling test for the girls. I mean, at one point it was so hard work, and now it's every week they're getting great scores. I've shared that before, but that's when it started back, this word for me. God really started kind of working on what I was speaking. See, our words, the third point and the final point for this morning. The first point was God's word frames our world. The second point was that our words frame our world. The third point is, and this is where it links into to the last couple of sermon series, our words frame other people's worlds. You know, those people who said to me about, oh, just wait till the children are 2 and 3. You know what? They didn't realize that they were having an impact in a negative way, potentially, on our children. Okay? But actually, and I'm not criticizing Tiny Tots because they do amazing, amazing things. But what I'm trying to say is, even in church, we hear people say things that aren't always right. Okay? And God wants us to be watching over what we're speaking over other people's lives. What are those words that we're speaking out? And it's important that we do it with love. You know, we had the Love Is series. You know, are we speaking over somebody with love and going, hey, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. You can walk in freedom. You can walk and fulfill what God's plan is for your life. You can do all these other things. You know, the words we speak are massive because they frame our worlds. Are we tearing people down or are we building people up? You know, are we encouraging people? Are we speaking the truth in love to them? You know, what are we speaking over people? When you see somebody, are you seeing them as in Christ Jesus, a new creation, a great, you know, glorious person because of what God's done in their lives? Or are you constantly just having a little niggle about them? How are you speaking? This came up in my heart, and I think it's particularly true to do with Pastors Alan and Claire, okay? But I'm just going to throw this out because it came up. How are you speaking about this church and about the leadership of this church? Even if you're let down, disappointed, feel that they should have done X, Y, and Z and all the rest of it, and let me tell you, they're not here, but they'll hear it on the recording, so I'm not saying anything I wouldn't say to their face. Pastor Alan and Claire have let me down many times. They've been amazing for me. They've been brilliant. They've been there when I've needed them. They've been incredible friends, and they've been incredible leaders and pastors, but they have let me down. There have been plenty of opportunities where Simone and I could have just up sticks and walked off. Okay, I want to be real and honest. But I have to be really careful that I always speak well of them and that I speak well of this church. Even in the midst of stuff going on or there's things, the Israelites ended up grumbling because they didn't watch their confession. It led to problems, didn't it? Okay, it's not because stuff doesn't go on in our lives. Of course it does. It always happens. But it's what we speak out. And I just really felt this morning that we need to be careful with what we speak out. You know, your words have the power of life and death. And as Jesus said as God said to the Israelites in Deuteronomy, now choose life. Are we going to choose life or are we going to choose death? I just want us all to stand as we finish. Are you encouraged?
Yes.
Good. Okay, I just want us to just very quickly close your eyes. We're not going to spend a long time on this. We're not going to spend a long time looking in on ourselves and trying to analyze all the rest of it. But I just want you to think, what are you speaking over yourself? What words have you been speaking over yourself? What words have you been speaking over your family, over your kids, your parents, your husband, wife, your brothers, your sisters? What words have you been speaking over them? What words have you been speaking over your workplace, over your work? I'll just throw this in at this point. Do you know what? I got paid a heck of a lot more money when I worked for O2 than I do when I work for the church. But God has got me speaking out that the work of my hands is profitable, both in terms of financial reward, but also in terms of the fact that I'm not wasting time when I do work. The jobs that I do at work are not a waste of time. God's got me speaking stuff out. He's got me changing how I'm speaking about my situation. So what are you speaking over your work? What are you speaking over this church? Are you declaring it's good, exciting that you hear from the Lord when you come in, or are you saying it's boring and there's bad leaders here? Now, what are we speaking out? Because what we speak out will determine our lives. It will determine what goes on in our worlds. Just where you are, if there's anything that you're aware of that perhaps you've been speaking negatively, even if it's a throwaway comment, I just want you to right now just want you to just repent of that where you are. Just say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for the words that I've spoken which are not life-filling, are not your words, are not in line with the truth. I'm sorry that I've spoken badly about this situation or whatever it may be. And then just say, thank you, Jesus, that those words are null and void in the name of Jesus. That when you went to the cross for me, you defeated not only the sin, but you defeated the whole sinful nature. You defeated all of death. Even death couldn't hold you. So the words of death are overcome by the power of Jesus, the life of Jesus. And in a second, we're just going to declare some truths over our lives just to finish, because I want you to get hold of how this can work for you during the week. But I also just really felt that during this week, do a health check on your words. There's a psalm, I can't remember where it is. I only can remember it because it was a song that Ishmael used to have when I was a kid and growing up. It's, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord, keep watch over the door of my lips, that my heart would not be drawn to what is evil. You know, I could sing it to you, but I'm not going to. But the whole thing is, do a health check this week. When you're saying words out, just think, is that word a life-giving word, and is it going to produce good stuff for me, or is it a bad word? You don't have to make a big deal of it, but just start checking it. And if it's not right, change your confession. We're just going to finish, before I hand back over to Peter, with a couple of confessions for ourselves here this morning. I'm blessed. The words I speak are powerful. They are life-giving. I am the head and not the tail. I am the top and not the bottom. My God has plans to prosper me. He never stops doing good to me. I have the mind of Christ. So I think right. Speak right, and act right. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is nothing I cannot do, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whatever I put my hand to is successful and prospers. I'm holy. I'm loved, I'm righteous, and I'm acceptable. I boldly approach the throne of grace. I am not afraid, for fear has no part of me. I do not have a spirit of fear, but I have a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. My God is with me always. He'll never leave me. He'll never let me down. He'll never disappoint me. He's with me always. He's with me today. He's with me tomorrow. He's with me all the rest of my life. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. Amen.